Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Jacob Sanderson here on Thursday morning, daylight savings time, wreaking havoc all across the United States. But we are here. We actually, compared to last week, pretty good slate, pretty enjoyable, I think. There are probably four games you could talk yourself into being legit shootouts. Kyler Murray is coming back this week. Other than the New York Football Giants, I don't actually think there is a single team on this slate. Well, the Packers. The Packers and the New York Football Giants are just the teams that are totally dead, that have no potential of being fun. But we are here. We are gonna play the best plays we have, and we're gonna begin with the Cleveland Browns traveling to play against Baltimore Ravens. I guess maybe at the beginning of the season, we would have thought this would have been a fun game. I mean, look, I can say maybe this will be fun, but we all know how this ends. Three Gus Edwards 1 yard touchdowns on 19 total snaps. That's where we are.
I just went to the old ETR projections on this game, and there are two assets in the green, which is the Ravens and the Browns defense. The Browns have a little bit in the no color zone. Every single Raven individual is like orange or red. It's just not good. Two best defenses in the NFL playing each other. Probably don't want to play any of the offenses. That's where I'm at.
I think in the context of the slate, you can definitely get away with Lamar and Andrews. I mean, I don't really know. Like the Browns. I mean, the Browns defense is good, but Lamar and Andrews.
You're not worried.
I'm not worried. I mean, I'm worried. I'm worried in the sense that, like, this isn't like them playing, some crappy defense. But, like, I think Lamar and Andrews have earned the respect of being like, these guys can get there versus anyone. That would be my opinion.
That's probably the right opinion. My opinion is just having been a Lamar fan and dynasty manager for several years. Every single time that he plays an AFC North opponent, he forgets that he's a good quarterback. Like, it's just like, oh, like, we're an offense that scores points. Oh, we're playing an AFC North team. Like, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to try to win like 12 to 10. And I'm going to throw three horrendous interceptions. And we're just going to try and like win this on grit.
You don't even have to look that far. Look to the Steelers game like 3 weeks ago where he was miserable. What I would say is the market definitely knows that. And it is completely priced.
He'll be unowned. He will be 1% owned. So,
yeah, I mean, and he does even still have the third or fourth highest raw projection of any quarterback. Absolutely. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm not playing the other side. No, I'm not playing Jerome Ford. I'm not playing Amari Cooper. Although Amari Cooper, is like having the best season of his career in a year where he's playing with like no quarterbacks. I mean, dude every week is like, he will make at least one catch that I'm like, you never once did that when you were in Dallas. You never tried that hard to come down with the ball when you were in Dallas.
Or did you see the graphic of the leading receivers of last week?
No.
So the four leading receivers in yardage last week was CeeDee Lamb 1, followed by Noah Brown, followed by Dalton Schultz, followed by Amari Cooper.
Oh, no. I mean, Dallas, it does remain one of the worst trades in recent NFL history, giving Amari Cooper away for a fifth-round pick in a year where everyone was so thirsty for wide receivers that Christian Kirk got $21 million guaranteed per year. Yeah, it was really unbelievable. All right. I don't think there are that many plays in that game. Luckily or unluckily, depending on how you think of it, this next game, the Houston Texans traveling to play against the Cincinnati Bengals, is going to be your chalk spot of the week. Yeah, our Texans. We have been on Stroud on this program. My best Stroud team last week, unfortunately, had just total dust balls at running back, so was not and had Trey Palmer as the bring back. I'm gonna go so broke on Trey Palmer this year. He gets like 175 air yards every single week and never gets there. Now I do think Robert Woods is gonna come back this week. I think that complicates things, not in the sense of like you need to play Robert Woods, but it becomes a spot where there's gonna be five wide receivers getting snaps. Right. And you gotta, you know, there's a guy who's gonna get four targets in there, so you disperse some of what goes to all of them. And you are getting no discount on anyone this week. Stroud is going to be owned. Burrow is going to be like giga owned, like 15-20% in any contest of reasonable size. If Chase doesn't play, well,
Chase
one,
will play.
I think he will play. But if he doesn't play, I think it makes this game way worse because I think it makes the Bengals way less efficient when he doesn't play. If he does play, he's going to be super owned. T is going to be super owned. I actually wonder if people play Irv Smith a little bit after the touchdown last week. I would not. My preferred way to do this game, I mean, one, I will see what the Sims say a little bit closer to Sunday. I think my preferred way would be to play Stroud instead of Burrow because you get that rare combination of Stroud is $100 more expensive than Burrow but projected for fewer points. So any kind of sim optimizing type thing is going to like him a little bit less. And I think you just do not play T. Higgins, honestly. Just don't. I've seen this recipe with T. Higgins a billion times. Like, T. Higgins' as chalk is 8 targets, 2 receptions, 19 yards, while Trent Irwin scores 17 points. Like, I have been down this road
right
before.
You play T. Higgins when everybody's, like, had it with T. Higgins, and he's, like,
exactly correct. Owned. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was the offense that we were attacking last week, and it was fun. Luckily, I had it going with Rashad White, so we had a fun little sweat down the stretch that didn't amount to a whole lot, thanks to Brandon Cooks. But otherwise, I'm definitely happy to jump back in. Like, it is tough that it's really unfortunate, I think, that Noah Brown had such a good game last week, because that means that they probably don't just go like, okay, Woods, you get 100% of the slot snaps, and Tank Dell and Nico Collins play all the other snaps, and we just play three receivers. Like, that probably means that they want to keep Noah Brown involved to some extent, right? He had like 130 yards and a touchdown, 2 touchdowns or whatever. So does that mean we're back down to like 75% route participation now for Collins and Tank Dell?
That's what I would anticipate. Now,
that's annoying.
What's interesting is I actually think Nico airballing last week and the week, well, not airballing, but 3 for 51 and a touchdown, and then airballing the week before, well, Tank is smashed, Brown's had all these routes, Woods is coming back, Schultz had the huge game last week. I actually think it leads to a spot where the hand builders are not going to be clicking Nico so much. And I think the projections will actually just maybe rightfully be a little bit less bullish on Nico because they're giving Xavier Hutchinson, I guess, was the fourth wide receiver last week. And now they'll be giving a wide receiver coming back in and they'll give him 8-10% of the targets. I think you can get away with Nico as a one-off, and I definitely would be prioritizing Chase and Nico as my guys in this game because I think they have the highest ceilings and I think they would be least perturbed by a guy coming back into the offense. Although, all that is to say, the best one-off play from this game is probably Joe Mixon, which is feels terrible, but it's totally true.
We'll see. I think he's going to be extremely owned at 6,200. So I'd probably rather not, just because I always struggle with the ceiling for Joe Mixon, just because he's so bad. But yeah, he's going to be a great, great, like, projection play. I'll have to figure out other ways to get unique, because I definitely don't want to be totally out on this game. I do think with Houston, they spread the ball around enough that everybody can, you know, plausibly fail if it's a bad game, but so many ways to hit. I agree with you on Nico. I'm seeing he's been flipped by Tank Dell in the projections. And, you know, I think we've been kind of saying this the whole year. Like, it's functionally, they're kind of the same. Like, you're going to have some hot streaks from each guy. Like, I'm definitely nowhere near the point where it's like, oh, it's now Tank is the wide receiver one and Nico is like the distant two. Like, I still think that they're pretty similar. So definitely going to play some Nico at 6,600. It's probably the only path to get low owned exposure to this game. So I'll play him. I'll play Stroud too. Like at a certain point, right, with these big games, like the price almost doesn't matter. Between it's like, okay, is Burrow the slightly better play at $100 less? For sure. Like Stroud just had what, 50 points last week? So it's like, you know, like if one of these guys is a massive game, you don't really worry about the price tag. I would way rather play the lower owned guy.
I think that is smart and accurate. All right. I think another potential good game that'll definitely go underowned is San Francisco and Jacksonville, which is our next game. I mean, people are just going to be a little bit off the 49ers. McCaffrey's really expensive. Purdy hasn't been all that good. I actually think these are two court, like this could totally end up being a shootout. You know, Debo scores a long touchdown and speeds the game up. The Jaguars are kind of hucking at home. ETN scores a long touchdown and speeds the 49ers up. People are just kind of down on the 49ers outside of McCaffrey. You know, that's what's in the consciousness right now. I like Kirk and Ridley both as one-offs. I don't think I got it. Hey, Debo might be like a flag plant play, actually. Like it just feel like he has Debo really had a Debo game yet this year. I don't really think
probably really that think Thursday night has. Against the Giants.
Let's see here. Yeah, what did he do? Yeah, 6 for 129. He has not scored a long rush. Oh, he's got one long rushing touchdown yet this year. I feel like Debo is just sort of your classic. I mean, he's kind of like Tyreek, but like at less volume, where it's just like you just play that guy kind of every week. You just kind of mix him in as one of these one-offs, you know? So I think he's really strong. Sounds like Zay Jones is like not coming back, like maybe an IR candidate at this point. So the Jaguars passing game is, you know, Kirk first, Ridley, then Ingram. Ingram actually is a pretty interesting play because I think Hockenson is going to be super chalk at tight end this week. So Ingram is good. Kittle probably bad once Debo gets back. You know, it just is what it is. Yes. They just do not give him the ball. Yeah, it's Jover. What do you think of McCaffrey at 9,200?
Play him.
It's very hard this week. I think Pete said this on the Swolecast yesterday. It's just like there's nothing interesting to say about McCaffrey. Like when he gets 35, you needed to have him, and when he gets 25, he was too expensive. So like that's just kind of you know, go with God on what you think there. I would play Lawrence and Purdy though. I think
I almost certainly will play both sides of this game. This I think will be like my Houston Tampa from last week, where I actually did wind up. I only played five lineups. I played multiple Stroud lineups and a Baker lineup. I'll probably play multiple of one of them and one of the other. This will, I think, be my highest owned game. I don't think it's that far off of the Houston Bengals game in terms of its ceiling, but I'm almost certain it will be less owned. You also get the opportunity that you kind of have run funnel defense or pass funnel defenses on both sides of the equation here with Jacksonville and San Francisco. I think that's going to tilt this game to the air. It's going to push the pace of this game up. So I'm going to be very interested in doing, you know, quarterback plus two plus wide receiver. Or McCaffrey. I mean, McCaffrey is effectively a part of their passing game regardless. So I don't really care about him, obviously, in like bad rushing matchups. Travis Etienne, I think, might be the guy I do avoid here, just in the sense that I think I'd rather attack San Francisco through the pass. They have a full bye week coming in. Both teams do. I kind of trust Doug Peterson at this point to develop a reasonable game plan around this. I think that Etienne's going to get, you know, the chances for explosive plays in the run game or the pass game every single week. But if he's going to be super owned, I might probably prefer to play this like Lawrence, Ridley, Kirk, and then go with, you know, one of these San Francisco 49ers coming back. With how expensive McCaffrey is, Ayuk's probably my favorite, or Debo. I guess Debo probably, especially at 6,200 in lower ownership.
Yeah. Debo favorite play. I actually do think ETN's pretty strong because he's basically got the second best workload in the NFL behind the guy across from him. And I mean, he will be like 3-5% owned in contest this week. So
really?
I don't know
about that.
Yeah, because at running back, it's gonna be you know, McCaffrey as the spend up guy with Eckler as a popular game stack guy. People are playing Tony Pollard this week. Well, maybe he won't be that low owned, but he will be less owned than Pollard. However you feel about that.
I don't know if I believe it.
It's going to happen.
Okay. Well, that's just bad.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Then I take it back. Like I'm. Yeah. I guess I don't really, I don't really fully buy that, but if we get to Saturday and that's what all the projected ownership was telling me, then, you know, who am I to doubt it? And in that case, I will play ETN and I won't play Pollard. I mean, come on.
I mean, right now I see 18% on ETN and 19% on Pollard. I would take the under on ETN. People just are not going to click in a running back versus the 49ers.
But people are going to click in Tony Pollard?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Because they're they're 19.5 point favorites against the freaking against the Giants, against this JV team.
Oh, man. I hope it happens. This is what happens.
It is going to happen. I'm telling you. I might do it. You know, I might do it.
Well, I mean, I hope it happens as in I hope Tony Pollard has a fucking good game. It probably won't happen on my roster. It'll happen on someone else. Like, I would love nothing more than to lose this DFS slate because I didn't play enough Tony Pollard. That would be great. I would appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. New Orleans and Minnesota. Love you. Love you, Pastronaut. Love you, Dobbs.
Pastronaut. That's awesome.
I think the best play from this game, unironically, is Taysom Hill, $5,100 at tight end. I actually think he's just a... Oh, I mean, at this point, Taysom is their goal line back. He's running, like... I mean, he's got more fantasy points since week four than Kelce and Andrews. I mean, he's the number one scoring tight end in fantasy since week four.
Oh,
like,
God, I hate that. Yeah, and he had, like, 11 carries last week, so it was...
He had more carries than Kamara.
Yeah, well, they finally done what I was kind of hoping they would do with Kamara, which is like, oh, this guy's not that good of a runner, and he's not that good of a pass blocker, and he's now become like their early down pass guy. He played less than half the snaps last week. Jamal Williams played 27 snaps. So it's pretty crazy to see, you know, just how fragile his projections are. He's like the same price as last week, and he has that, you know, role change. All of a sudden, his projection is brutal compared to last week. I will continue to just hammer Chris Olave in the low 6K until it works.
Yeah, he's such a jam. Yeah. Dome game. You know, I think that the line is definitely telling us that the market is not buying that Josh Dobbs is like the greatest quarterback of all time. But, you know, I mean, it just feels like he's got the ability to speed these games up with the scrambling because, you know, 3rd and 9 turns into a first down or whatever. So if this game does get fast, you know, Addison, Hawkinson, Olave, Kamara is pretty interesting because Kamara after last week, I think will be kind of left for dead, you know, out carried by Taysom, not getting the targets. Now, obviously if the Saints get ahead in this game, they like to play slow. Like this is not the Saints that we remember, you know, they love to play slow. And Jamal Williams is also a real problem for Kamara at this point.
Yeah. He plays every single third down. Kamara's brutal in pass protection. And then he, you know, he's going to start taking in some carries. Taysom takes carries. Yeah, I think Kamara is fine, though, because he's going to be so low-owned that I think I would take shots. Like, realistically, his ceiling comes from the early down pass work, and he can, you know, create explosive plays from that. He can score touchdowns on that, rack up PPR receptions on that. So I think probably, though, you really do need Kamara playing from behind at this point. So I think if you're going Kamara, you probably want to do it correlated because you're definitely going to be expecting, I think, the Vikings to get up, and then you want them playing fast. You want them using Kamara in a check down capacity. So probably if I make a Kamara lineup this week, it would either be with like a Dobbs stack or it'd be with, you know, at least one member of the Minnesota Vikings. I probably can't do the 30% owned TJ Hawkinson on principle, but he's obviously a great play.
I don't think I've got it in me to play Kamara. I would rather ETN, obviously way rather Kenneth Walker, honestly, even Derrick Henry. Like if I'm paying for a guy in like a non-nut spot, I think I would rather do that, but none of these guys are like on the list of running backs I really want to play. A game with literally no one I want to play, the Green Bay Packers traveling to play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I guess Deontay Johnson, Aaron Jones, maybe. I mean, Jones did get, I think, 64% of the snaps last week, and he out-touched AJ Dillon 2-1. So, like, Jones, like, that's probably a spot where, Aaron Jones is probably one where he's, like, 7% owned, and you look up, like, all the sharpest players in the Millie Maker were, like, way overweight Aaron Jones. Like, that one I totally buy, but, like, Najee, Warren, you know, Pickett. No, I got none of it. None of that interest.
I mean, Najee Harris at $4,900 is pretty good play.
Is he, I guess this is what I would say, Najee Harris at $4,900 and at 10% ownership is a much better play than Rashad White at $5,800 and 25% ownership.
Najee, I mean, I play Rashad White in almost every lineup last week, and I view Najee Harris as like somewhat similar in terms of just the like price, the dollar. I guess the difference is I looked at Rashad White last week. It was like, okay, he's like the gross kind of discount running back, but he's also in the game that I want to stack. And that's obviously not the case with Najee Harris this week. So maybe I'll play him in one lineup. Deontay's fine. I think Deontay and Najee, though, are, if they're going to be owned, are both pretty, especially Deontay, I think is actually going to be owned. Probably a good fade, I think, to fade like an owned wide receiver who needs 8 catches to get there, you know, struggles to score touchdowns, not get a lot of downfield work, quarterback concerns. So I think he's probably a fade in DFS, even though he's my boy. So probably just Aaron Jones for me this game. Maybe I'll play one Najee lineup if I need the salary savings.
Maybe I will click Najee. I haven't started building stuff yet outside of like a couple mess around teams. 5K
Najee hits a little different.
It does. I can see it. I would not say
Chuba Hubbard prices. Like
we can sure. Buy. Sure. And he's Chuba Hubbard efficiency. So like that's fine, yes. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The Tennessee Titans against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this is one where I could see the inputs just being wrong, right? The Vegas inputs just straight up being wrong. It's like, this is a 38.5 total game. But like we've got
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't check all the totals before this. That surprises me. I'm going to bet the over.
And a half, 18 and a half point team total for the Titans, 20 points for the Buccaneers. Now, obviously what that's saying is
the ball jump out of Will Levis's wrist?
Well, it's two really good run defenses and teams that want to run the ball. I don't think Vrabel or the Buccaneers will abandon the run when it's not working. But I mean, one, people got to give Baker his flowers. Like Baker's playing good ball this year. Now, obviously it's a lot easier to play good ball when you have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin compared to the chuckleheads that he was throwing to for the Rams last season and for the Brown. I mean, the late stage, like Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and like injured David Njoku, and he was injured. Like just the whole perspective on Baker Mayfield, I think, is wrong. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. And Levis, I mean, I'm buying Levis. Like,
I'm a Will Levis buyer. I'm a dynasty buyer, and I'm a DFS buyer. I will 100% play Will Levis this week. Absolutely, I'm playing Will Levis this week. Pass funnel defense on both sides. You know, Hopkins has had just outstanding usage since Will Levis has come in, and he'll have some ownership on him. Chig is going to be not that owned, and he's dirt cheap if you want a secondary piece. And, I mean, here's one. It's a little off the wall, but I think he gets creative enough usage that he has a ceiling on limited touches. If you want to play Christian McCaffrey this week, you play Will Levis, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyjae Spears, and then you do a Bucs bring back.
I see the theory with Tyjae Spears. Like I don't think it's wrong. What I would say is I think that something the Sims have taught me over the years is that doing the super thin play to get to the expensive play is very rarely plus EV. Like it's super rare for that to work. I definitely think it's better to do at wide receiver. And I would of course mention my guy Trey Palmer at this point, who's totally free. Super, I mean, he just like gets like a bazillion air yards per game. He actually did have 3 for 51 last week because he just is always getting these deep targets. I also think he's good. I can't say enough about the Titans secondary. I do know the Titans are a pass funnel, and so are the Buccaneers. These are two super pass funnel defenses. So I actually like sort of like a Levis Hopkins Godwin style team. I do not think that's bad this week. And I think you can play McCaffrey on that team. I think you can play, you know, some of these high price guys, CeeDee Lamb, whoever. on those teams. You
I'll
know,
probably
I think those
spend
are
the extra 500 for Evans, just in the sense that, like, if I'm game stack, like, I prefer, if I'm game stacking involving the Bucks, I just always prefer playing Mike Evans, just because the way he gets there is so much more conducive to the game stack hitting.
That's so, that's very true. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, if Mike, like, how does this game blow out a 38.5 total? Well, Mike Evans catches a 70.
Mike Evans has to, yeah, Mike Evans has to, you know, sky over some guy. You're totally right. I think that is, I think that's a really good point. So I'm not a big Evans player in general. Normally I do play Godwin, but I think in the context of this game, yeah, that makes some sense. Like Hopkins Hopkins and Evans combine for 7 receptions, but like 37 fantasy points on those 7 receptions.
That's the hope. Yeah,
that is.
If I'm being the bear, which I don't care. I'm going to ignore this bear case. I'm going to play it anyway. But it would be the big weakness of the Titans is their offensive line. The weakness of Levis is what he's able to do under pressure. Todd Bowles is just going to blitz the shit out of them. You know, maybe things go bad. But I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to play it anyway.
All right. Next game. Again, another one that has the potential to be decent if these coaches can get out of their own way. We have the Atlanta Falcons traveling to play against the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray coming back. Trey McBride, Giga Chalk, probably DeMercado back this week as the lead back. Once again, I think this week I'm just going to play Bijan Robinson.
Back? I think Connor's back.
His 21-day practice window is opened. I don't think we have not seen any of these 21-day practice window guys come back the first week they've been back at practice, to my knowledge.
Didn't we see that with, we saw Deontay Johnson do that.
You're right.
We saw,
okay.
Who was the other guy that just came off IR?
Like Justin Jefferson is off IR, but they're
yeah, he's not going to play.
They're going to take him for a week.
I think
Khalil
Herbert's playing tomorrow.
No, he's not. He's not. They said
he's not
there
playing
was
tonight.
There was he's open. He's back at practice, but Schefter said he's not playing or unlikely to play.
Okay.
I'm hoping that Devin Achane really breaks that curse. My God, to my fantasy.
It sounds
teams.
Like he's breaking it. Like it's everything that I've read says he's back week 11.
Well, I need it. I need it.
They've been reporting that for like 2 straight weeks now.
So Kyler's back. This is your boy. This is a big bet you've made. Do you think he's going to run? Do you think it's going to be bad? What is your anticipation for what this is going to look like?
I definitely think he's going to be running around a little bit. We saw Sean Watson in his year off his ACL, like people worried if he was going to run less. He actually ran more coming off the ACL than the year prior. I think that they've been quite conservative with him in terms of when they've brought him back. Like I would guess if the Cardinals were a playoff team right now, I would guess he probably plays 2 weeks ago. I think that it seems like they've been like extra conservative in terms of bringing him back, making sure he's getting like a reasonable opponent to play against instead of like coming back on the road at the Browns or something goofy. I think he's going to be a little rusty, you know, probably through the air. He hasn't played in the system yet. Hasn't played in a game in a while.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I just want to know, like, am I getting 2 rushes from him or am I getting 9? Like, and that's such a different thing.
I feel like we're getting like 6.
So 6, I think you can do like a Drake London, Kyler Murray, Trey McBride team and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, the only issue with this is I think probably if I'm playing the Cardinals, I think I just have to eat it and play Kyler because you have this weird issue where Kyler's back. And so it makes everyone extremely willing to just like swallow the chalk on Marquise Brown and Trey McBride, but then people don't want to play Kyler. So to me, I think it's probably bad to play Kyler's 25 to 30% owned weapons. But not play him. Like, I think either if I'm playing those weapons, I think I'm just going to be like, okay. And I'll also play a $5,900 Kyler Murray with it. Or I'm just going to ignore those weapons. Or you can be a giga brain. You can play Michael Wilson at like 5% ownership.
I mean, that might be me. I might feel my consciousness expanding because doesn't it feel like Michael Wilson is actually like just going to make sweet poetry with Kyler Murray, like Josh Dobbs just was not able to fit. I mean, he did for the one game. He had the two touchdown game, but like his route tree is not really that dissimilar from Nico Collins, honestly, and actually kind of similar prospects in the sense of they were really disappointing in terms of raw production in college, but like they had the tools and were just in weird spots. You know, Nico went to Michigan where they do not believe in the forward pass, and Michael Wilson went to Stanford where they don't really believe in the forward pass. So I am now in my head canon, Michael Wilson will eventually have the Nico Collins breakout.
Yeah, maybe it's this week. I'll play Michael Wilson. I think he's like actually a fundamentally great play in terms of he gets all the same upside of Kyler coming back. He gets a little bit of an uncertainty edge where like maybe Kyler wants to push the ball down the field, but you get none of the ownership that Marquise and Trey McBride have. And he's $3,500, and it's a great way to get to Christian McCaffrey this week. I'm very into this play. Falcons side. London's probably fine. He's back at practice. I conservatively project him in. I mean, are we getting like 1% owned Kyle Pitts this week?
Yeah, and probably like 2% owned Bijan Robinson. I think my new thing.
No, we're not getting 2% owned Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson is 6K, and I understand why, all the reasons why he shouldn't be owned. People will still play him. I'm staring at a projected ownership of 24% right now.
Yeah, me. It's me. I'm people. I think my new thing is I'm just going to play him and not talk about it. Like, I'm just going to play him. And right, like when he gets 9 points,
you brought it up. You are talking about it right now.
Well, I mean, it's my podcast. I gotta be honest about it, but we're 30 minutes in, like not everyone's going to make it this far, but yeah, I mean like I think the thing with Bijan now is you just got to treat him like he is James Cook, right? Where it's like, you're never getting a 3-yard touchdown. That's not how he scores. The games where it's actually like Travis Etienne last year, you know, he only scores from 20 yards out, but like, he'll probably do that twice in a game at some point.
I mean, we talked about Aaron Jones. They kind of have a similar role, right? Where they have this like other like lug that they have to share the workload with that occasionally gets goal line touchdowns. I guess Aaron Jones is more alive to get a goal line touch, but Arthur Smith has done this in the past. You know, Ben has like kind of chronicled this. But, like, he does this thing where he'll be really, really tilting on all of his players always. But then sometimes when it reaches, like, a true fever pitch on one of them in particular, he'll do, like, the C, are you happy now? Like, week, the next week. And then he'll go back to ignoring them. But I do get the feeling that this week might be the week of, like, okay, you know, we've lost a couple games in a row. People are getting really mad about Bijan Robinson. Like, why?
Well, they're
going to
lose. They're
going
to lose. They're
going to
lose this game too. If Kyler is back, they're going to lose this game because Arizona's got this weird thing going where like they have actually been one of the least watchable football teams I've ever seen in my life, and they still kind of hang in these games. I mean, like
they try hard.
Yeah, like I think our boy. Not our boy, a guy I actually, like, I hate Arthur Smith. Like, I found myself like rooting for the Minnesota Vikings last week. Like, yes. I was like, I need Josh Dobbs to win this game so goddamn bad. Yeah, I really hate Arthur Smith. Yeah. All right. Okay. Weirdly, I think that this Detroit Chargers game is not going to get enough pub. I actually think that it will end up being the second most chalky game stack. Whereas, you know, I think, had the Stroud Texans explosion not happened last week, it definitely would have been number one. And there are even what's actually weird about it is there are pretty affordable ways to stack this game. It is not as if it's not like, you know, if Miami Kansas City was on the main slate and you basically could have only played, you know, one guy, like Laporta is not overly expensive. Both Gibbs and Montgomery are not overly expensive. You could play one of these secondary Lions wide receivers, Reynolds, Williams, Raymond. I probably wouldn't. And I mean, the largest elephant of all time in the room, $4,100 Quentin Johnson playing 95% of the snaps last week. I mean, again, put him in the Bijan bucket. I'm playing
him. I'm playing him.
Yeah.
I'm totally playing him. This is, I mean, whatever. He's never going to do anything against the Jets. The whole office didn't do anything against the Jets. I agree with you. I'm not seeing as much ownership on this game as you'd think, considering the ceiling of it. I understand that the Chargers have a way of ruining these type of spots, but I think this game is going to be fun. I think the craziest part of this game is that everybody is getting paralyzed into not wanting to play the most lucrative backfield in the NFL in a really high total spot. Like, everyone is afraid enough of David Montgomery to not want to play Jahmyr Gibbs at 7K, but then they aren't playing David Montgomery either, is what seems to be the case. So I don't think that, like, if we get like 5% combined ownership on this Detroit Lions backfield in this spot, that cannot be right, as in my opinion. Like, I think that they're going to have 30 running back fantasy points in this game because they're going to play a very competitive game, most likely. Their offense runs through the running back position. They're going to throw to Gibbs. They're going to run it with Montgomery. They're going to use the running backs a ton at the goal line. It would just, unless the distribution is such that it's like all of their points are completely evenly distributed between the two running backs, I think one of them is a smash play and neither of them are going to get owned, because I think everybody is just kind of like waiting and seeing what the split is. And we have to kind of take a stand early. For me, you know, the most fun way to play it, I think, if you're playing this as part of a game stack, is you play the guy where, you know, the game gets sped up, right? So you play a Chargers stack, you play them from ahead. They're going to pass probably regardless of whether from ahead or behind. And then you play Gibbs coming back. Like, I totally think David Montgomery is going to come in. He's going to take a lot of carries. He's going to take all the goal line work. Absolutely. But Gibbs was absolutely phenomenal in those 2 weeks without David Montgomery, especially against the Raiders. I don't see them giving up using him in the passing game. I don't see them giving up wanting to get touches to him and shotgun run situations and sweeps and tosses. Like, I still think he's going to have 10 to 12 carries. I think he's going to have 6 to 8 targets. And if they fall behind, I think even more so, they go to him in this spot. So I like Gibbs is going to be like a big, big stand for me in this exact same salary range as Etienne and Pollard, where he's going to get like no ownership.
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, Gibbs would be the guy that makes the most sense to me. Like, he speeds the game up. He's going to correlate well. I think you're exactly right. Like, the field is going to be scared both ways. Like, they're scared to play Gibbs because Montgomery's coming back, but they're scared to play Montgomery because Gibbs has been so good, you know? So I think that kind of creates an interesting dichotomy there. I actually think, and then the prices on the Chargers side, like, it's not particularly cost effective to do, I actually just would not play Herbert. I would either play the Chargers guys with a different quarterback or with Goff. You know, but Eckler, I mean, I do think Eckler at 8,400 is pretty interesting because he is going to have some, you know, stuff siphoned off from McCaffrey and Kamara.
Yeah.
I think that, honestly, to me, it seems like the ideal way to play this game is just without the quarterbacks entirely. Like, you just correlate it and you just play someone else. You play Kyler Murray, you play Sam Howell, you play Geno Smith, you know, whoever. You could do something like, let's see, what is a salary? Okay.
I think you can play with Levis or Baker. You're probably skinny stacking like that.
Yeah.
Right. So if you do like Levis, Hopkins, maybe this is your Trey Palmer team if you want to really save salary, but, and then you can play like 3 or 4 guys from this game, like one or two of the expensive guys, 1 or 2 of the really cheap guys. I think you can get into it from that angle.
Yeah. I mean, we've got just real quick. I did Levis and Hopkins, Jahmyr Gibbs, Alexander Mattison, Keenan Allen as the corollary to Gibbs, through Trey McBride in there at tight end, put the Browns defense in at 3,500, and you have 5,500 left for each for a flex and for a wide receiver. I mean, that's a pretty good It's a pretty good team. Yeah, I like
I'll do
that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I actually think that they have a great contest on DraftKings this week, the double spy. So it's $200. It is 30K to first and only 850 people in the field. And they had it last week as well, but I didn't enter it because I didn't like the slate and I didn't want to be flipping coins against a bunch of other Eagle stacks. And it ended up being the right decision because I had a terrible GPP last week, but I like this week better. Maybe I will do something like that there. All right. Giants and Dallas. I mean, not playing any Giant. Not playing. My boy Wandale did score last week. I think that, honestly, if you told me Wandale was still going to be playing in the fourth quarter, I would actually do it. But I think they are getting smoked so bad. They're just playing all their wide receivers, like Paris Campbell, like return to the rotation. I saw Isaiah Hodgins's jersey out there. They're just playing all their dudes. Lawrence Cager has returned. Like it's just an unserious exercise. So like no bring back. What I would say is I do think that just that gigantic spread and the fact that Pollard does rate so well in the projections will keep Dak and CeeDee below the ownership that you would expect from the highest total team. Like the Cowboys have the highest team total of every team in the main slate, but instead of being piled on, you're going to get single digits on them, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, didn't we just see this game 2 weeks ago, right? The Dallas wants to pass now. They've decided they can't run. So they build the lead passing. And then by the time they want to run, they're like, oh, we're up by 30, so we're going to put in Rico Dowdle. So,
I mean, that is what's going to happen, is Rico Dowdle is going to end up having 17 fantasy points in the second half.
Right. So I just think, look, I'm fine with buying low on Tony Pollard. Like, I haven't, like, fully given up. I still think he is, like, honestly, like, fine. But you're just not buying – you're not buying low on him in DFS when he's 7,300 and 25% owned. Like, I don't know. I just fundamentally don't understand. I understand how the projections work. But I just don't understand how, if you've been watching the Cowboys, especially the last 2 weeks, like, right, like, they came out of their bye – and the adjustment out of their bye was like, we're running this entire offense through CeeDee Lamb and we're going to run the ball way less. And then it's worked. Like, they've played really strong offense the last 2 weeks. So I don't know how you kind of talk yourself into, oh, they're just going to jam the ball with Tony Pollard all week.
The only thing you could say is that McCarthy really is that stubborn, because clearly what they did was they did some self-scouting and they said, we are just way better hucking the ball 40 times per game than handing it off to Tony Pollard. And the most tilting thing, as someone who just is so could not be more invested in Tony Pollard, really, it would have been pretty hard for me to, is that he actually does get the opportunities. They get to the 3 yard line and they hand him the ball only once, you know, not like Joe Mixon, not four times.
He scored one this week and it was like erroneously called back.
Yeah. But he got another try and he got tackled on the two. And then I think it turned into a Brandon Cooks touchdown, where it's just like.
Definitely didn't turn into a Brandon Cooks touchdown. I don't know what it turned into. It wasn't him.
Ferguson, I think. It's just like, I guess ultimately where I am going to land here is that if his ownership is the same on Sunday morning as it is what I'm looking at right now at about 15 to 20%, depending on the site. And maybe this is the buy signal of all buy signals when Davis Maddock has finally capitulated on Tony Pollard, but I don't really think I can play him into that level, mostly because they've already
Tony Pollard jersey. I can't play him.
They've already shown that they will not keep him in when the score gets to a certain degree, that it's Rico Dowdle or it's Deuce Vaughn or it's Malik.
Right. He's too important to them for them to keep him in a blowout. But he's not important enough for them to distribute the ball to.
Yeah.
You know what was his big mistake? Is he got very good at pass blocking this year.
No, so his
he's found value in
that,
other areas.
His mistake is that he got too big. I actually think the tightrope stuff that people bring up, I actually think is not true. I actually think it's that he gained about like 8 to 10 pounds to hand to hold up to getting 300 touches. And it just kind of took away. And maybe the injury thing played into it too. But the combination of the injury thing, the surgery, and then adding some weight, I just think it took losing a half step at running back. I mean, watch Alvin Kamara. You think Alvin Kamara looks the same as he did 3 years ago? Like it's a different experience. Yeah. Losing a half step at running back is tough.
It is tough. So yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, Tony Pollard is possibly my favorite player of all time. Like I love him. I've fought wars for him. I don't think I can play it. So you're right. Maybe this is the buy signal. I just think the projection bros are going to do it anyway. So
the sim bros, I think will rightfully be like, he's projected for the second most points. Like, why would I not just play him? You know?
Right. So plan. Again, nothing would bring me more joy across the entirety of my fantasy football portfolio than if I airballed this DFS slate because I didn't play enough Tony Pollard. Like, maybe that's because I had a good week last week, so I have that privilege, but I'm not doing it. I'm not playing Tony Pollard this week. I will play CeeDee Lamb because he's going to be not as owned, and he's had the best wide receiver role in the league the last couple of weeks. So I'll play him, and I'll play a Dak Lamb Ferguson stack. I'm not sure, but I'll definitely play Lamb. Would you spend up for $4,400 for the privilege of the Cowboys defense against Tommy DeVito?
I mean, maybe like if I am working through some stuff on Sunday morning and like it's not, I don't have to make other egregious decisions to do it. Yeah, I mean, they are drawing live to score like 30 fantasy points, I think.
Yeah, my only slight issue with it is that it's going to be actually owned, like, because right. There's not as many like obvious cheap defenses. Like last week, there were so many obvious cheap defenses that you had the privilege of playing the Browns defense at home against Clayton Toon and not even having ownership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And you got to have
any of them.
Oh, I forced them. I forced the Browns defense into half my lineup. So I was like, I get to play the best defense in the league against the worst quarterback ever. And it's like going to be 5%. Like let's find a way. But I don't think that's gonna be the case with Cowboys. I think they're actually gonna be owned.
Yeah. All right. Final game. Actually, I think a game, you know, the afternoon games never shoot out when you need them to. I actually think this one totally could. The Commanders playing against the Seahawks. Unfortunately, yeah. I just like, I do think the unfortunate thing that might happen is Kenneth Walker might just absolutely shove it. Like the Commanders might just not have any room to breathe. Like Walker is sort of, he's kind of been biding his time. He's like a boxer doing body blows. Like he hasn't buried anyone in a while.
You give this guy a lot of credit for a guy who's been outsnapped by Zach Charbonnet the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, because the Seahawks have been shitty and they needed a pass blocker. Like Kenneth Walker is exact. Like
they won 2 weeks ago.
Oh, they were, well, shit, were they behind in that game? Am I misremembering things?
Not really. This was the fake, everybody, all the Ken Walker slappies, like, oh, he was hurt.
Yeah, I am a Ken Walker slappy and he was hurt, so it's fine. there's nothing that could shake me from my unbelievable confidence in Kenneth Walker's ability to punish the haters. Now Sharps is like a real problem. He's not going away. Like very actually very good. Similar to how once the JSN genie was out of the bottle, there was no putting him back in. Like JSN is just a part of this offense now. I think the same thing is true with Charbonnet. Like he's going to be minimum 30% of the snaps. He's going to look good on the snaps he gets, but it doesn't, like Kenneth Walker is either going to score a 70-yard touchdown or he's not. And it's that binary. I think he's more likely to score a 70-yard touchdown than probably any other running back in football, maybe other than McCaffrey or Henry.
Breece Hall?
More likely than Breece, because Breece has no room. Like, he's got no lanes at all. Seattle, actually, the offensive line has been getting a little bit better. The 3-37 loss against Baltimore, I mean, I'll treat it the same way that the Rams blowout loss.
West like Coast that, team going
it's,
east.
It's the high variance.
The Ravens going to happen.
Right. But it's also just like the Seahawks are like, this has been their mantra the entire time that Pete Carroll has been their coach. Like sometimes they just get boat race because they play a high variance style of football. And also there's some like Geno Smith pumpkin stuff happening, which is a little bit weird because he is the best points per dollar quarterback this week at 5,800. What say you about this game?
Love this game. I love so many of these games that I think what I'm beginning to realize as we go through is that I just will sit out the Houston-Cincinnati game because it'll be the most owned. And I have this game that I love. I have the Jacksonville-San Fran game that I love. I have the Chargers game that I love. And I have the Bucs-Titans game that I'm moderately interested in. So, yeah, I like this one. I don't think you're going to have that many issues getting low-owned Seahawks stacks. Who's just playing DK Metcalf this week? Who? Who?
Me.
Who on earth?
Me.
Me and you, we're doing it, but the field's not.
Oh, I will also be playing. I will also be playing Mr. Smith and Jigba as well. I mean,
yeah,
all of them.
And you can play Lockett. You can play, pick any two, right? I'm actually going to be playing Noah Fant in a main event this week because I lost Dallas Goedert. So I'll even be doing that. So prayers, Noah. Yeah, I'm going to play both sides. I don't think that the ownership is going to be that crazy on this game because there's other better games. But Washington is just an absolute treat for DFS, right? They're going to drop back a gazillion times. They're going to play a high-paced style. And as long as Washington is the team that's able to play like a neutral pace, like the only way this goes bad is if the Seahawks just get way ahead. But if Washington's able to keep up, then we're rolling. You know, like it's going to be Geno plus two and a bring back, or it's Howell plus the obvious two and a bring back. Like, let's do it.
You could definitely do, I almost never do this, but you could definitely do Howell and McLaurin with Walker. I almost never do the running back bring back, but like Walker just stuffing the commies and the nerds who don't believe in a locker. I just like, yeah, I thought you knew ball, Jacob. I thought you knew ball enough to accept our Lord and Savior, Kenneth Walker III.
Have you seen the graphic that's like percentage of runs that go into the designed lane?
I mean, one, I haven't. And two, I don't care because that is not understanding the thesis of Kenneth Walker.
Ken Walker like breaks the chart. Like he's like so on this one side of like never taking the design lane. I find Ken Walker's, like, I'll just admit, like, I find Ken Walker's style of play personally irritating. And it bothers me.
I need you to grow up. I can't imagine I cannot imagine being annoyed by a guy who just like, he just is improvising, dude. He is a Jazz running back. It's amazing.
That's great. I call him Ken Adam Dunn Walker.
Well, but that's fine. That's because running is so ineffective anyways. Wouldn't you rather have a running back play? Like what's the difference between 1 yard and 4 yards really?
Right. Like, I guess I think that Ken Walker is probably correct if he's playing three-dimensional chess. Like if he's just like, actually, like, my launch angle is such that, like, why would I try to get contact?
Kenneth Walker is not Joey Votto, who would, like, nerd it out and decided he needed to change his swing and his launch angle. He is actually Adam Dunn and was just like, right. I just like to hit dingers, you know? Like, that's all he cares about. Which is right. Perfectly fine.
But is that all Pete Carroll cares about?
I think obviously yes, right? At the running.
But then wouldn't he get more snaps?
But he like they clearly I think saw Charbonnet be like effective in the pass game, and they're like, yeah, okay, we drafted him in the second round for some reason when we had clear other roster needs, so we might as well play him because he was playing DJ Dallas and shit anyways, you know. Like he likes to have those segmented roles. We got to get out of here though. Yeah. Let's plant a flag. You know what? I'm doing it. Debo, planting it.
That's a great one. That was one of the ones I was considering. So I love that call and I love that whole game. Okay. I'll do two because there's one that I want to do, but it's like egregious. And then one probably better one. My real flag plant is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs. I think it's going to be not at all owned, in this spot at the exact same price range as Tony Pollard and Travis Etienne. And I'll play him in major stacks of that game. And my egregious one is Will Levis. I think that there's some fun games in this spot.
I love
where you
it.
Don't
that's
need
so,
the quarterbacks.
That's so beautiful. Yeah.
Like you can play the San Francisco Jags game without the quarterbacks. You can play the Chargers and Lions game without the quarterbacks, and you spend down, you grab yourself some mayo and you put that in your coffee, and you don't really need to play the Titans. Like the only Titan you need to play with him is Hopkins. He doesn't throw to anybody else. So you do that, you play $1 and then you can layer in multiple of these game stacks over top of that. I will do at least one or two of those lineups this week and we'll see what happens.
I love to see it. All right, guys, we're getting out of here. I'll be back with Reeves tomorrow morning. Good luck until then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.